That's where his steam plunge is coming. Just kidding.
Welcome everyone, it's 12 noon. I'd like to call a meeting to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call please.
Conklin?
Here.
Grunge?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Page?
Here.
Salmon?
Here.
Quorum present.
We'll go on to the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have four items. Number A, approval of the October 16th City Commission special meeting minutes as presented. Item B, approval of the November 13th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented. Item C, approval to reappoint Jeff Waldman to the Boynton City Historical District Commission for a two-year term ending in November 30th, 2020. And approval to reappoint Chris Bandy to the Boynton City Historic District Commission for a one-year term ending November 30th, 2019. Is there any discussion from commission or the public?
We go through our consent agenda.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Item number four, hearing citizens' comments for non-agenda items. Thank you. Correspondence? Anything, Mike?
Nothing that I have.
And nothing? Go on to city manager's report, right?
Yeah, a few things to report on. First of all, the work on the West Michigan Woodland water main insulation is pretty much wrapped up. So far, six homes are fully connected to the city's water system, and we have one of our new customers sitting in the second row over there, Nancy Cunningham. A punch list of the final items to be dealt with, like road patching and cleanups, is currently being prepared. So far, the preliminary numbers that we have on the finances for the project are coming within the projected amounts, so it's looking good right now. Speaking of water, we were very pleased with the recent results of the state's water testing that showed no PFASs were detected in our water supply system. One of the, what appears to be few in the area that have similar no-detect results. Yesterday, the November election here in the state of Michigan was certified. That means that recreational marijuana legalization for home and private consumption and production will be effective as of Thursday, December 6th. We're continuing to monitor the situation and we'll report back accordingly. Yesterday, Mayor Niedhammer and I met with State Senator Wayne Schmidt and Representative Tristan Cole and a number of other parties at a meeting here in Boynton City that was organized by Rich Bergman of the Boynton City Taproom that was regarding the Line 5 pipeline and the proposed tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. That may come up during the legislators' lame duck session that is scheduled to run now through December 20th. The city went on record opposing the continued operation of Line 5 back in May of 2016. We've got a couple of commissioners who weren't on board during that time, so if you're looking for any background information on that, let me know. I did bring a couple of copies of the resolution with me that the commission approved at that time. Also, if the commission has any feedback on our positions on other issues that might come up during lame duck, let me know so I can respond accordingly. The DPW's new leaf mower, lawnmower leaf bagger attachment, has arrived and is working well. Matter of fact, it was being used this morning before the snow started coming down in Veterans Park, and it's been used on other public properties as well, so investment that is being put to use already. The ice pole behind the Chamber of Commerce is up and ready to be activated once the weather conditions are favorable for doing so. New distance remaining signs for the airport runway that are being donated by a local pilot were received yesterday and will be installed by DPW personnel as weather and time allows. These signs are a safety measure, which are big numbers like 1 and 2, just like the one in the back of the room back there, except they'll be in different colors and reflectorized and things of that nature that give pilots indicators of how much runway they have left to work with before they run out. Cindy has ordered 5 iPads and the related supplies for commissioner use, getting some very good Black Friday deals. All the materials should be here before the end of the week and ready for distribution to the commission. And we have personnel from our EMS department here to demonstrate the new Lucas device that was approved at our last city commission meeting. So we may want to do that now, and I can continue my report if that's okay with the commission.
Is this so you don't have to be every morning? Yeah.
No, Craig, we're going to see. This is Melissa Suda. She's one of our roommate active paramedics. I have good news for you. The stretcher fits in the elevator. You don't get it.
I'm really hoping you never have to use this during commission.
Yeah, we had never tried it until just now. It fits, and we both can get in with it. The one at the one facility, only one person gets in with it. So, this is Lucas. I'm going to pop it off in just a second after Melissa did some such an instruction. So, as you see, it's fairly light, fairly easy to use. But what I wanted you to realize, we should make Jeff come up for this. So, this is your CPO reversion course.
It's been a long time.
Remember how to do it? I'm looking at Hugh. Remember how to do it? Hard, fast, don't stop. So, mid-chest, hard and fast. So you come up, buddy doesn't talk to you. No life signs. Get in the middle of the chest and start compressions. 1, 2, 3, 4. Can you do baby shark, baby shark, baby shark? That's the rhythm you gotta do it to. You used to do it to...
Doing out baby sharks now.
Dora, what do you know?
Grandkids are great.
I just spent a whole week here with my grandkids. Baby shark, baby shark. Mom shark, grab a shark, grab a shark.
So, it's pretty fast.
So, you got to do it at rate of 110. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How long do you think I can do this for?
Should we time it?
They say in American Heart Association, a person should only do this for 2 minutes, and then you have to have somebody else do it. Now, that takes 80 pounds of pressure to compress that chest 2 inches.
So, what we did, though, is before we slide this, it's really simple. Goes underneath the patient. Pretty easy to do as long as there's more than one person. This is not something you can do very well with one person. But. Nessa. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It also has rigidity span. He doesn't have arms, but it has holders right here that both arms can go up, so they're up and out of the way.
So everything in the truck is electrically discharged, so don't worry about oh my gosh, you changed the battery today. We put it on a different charger. So, this is pretty neat. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, just for the audience, can you explain that that was purchased just recently for how much? And you got a deal on it?
We got a deal on it. Black Friday strikes again. So, thanks to the end of the year sales of these corporations, but Stryker purchased the manufacturer of Lucas. Lucas is made by Physio Control. And Physio Control is purchased by Lucas, so they came up with this offer that if you trade it in, if you had a unit, we have a unit called an auto pulse, which is a band, which squeezes the chest fairly violently. And it's not user-friendly, because if you don't use it on a daily basis, then if you start...
It's way more complicated.
I only have 3 buttons to push. Well, on the auto pulse, I have more than 3 buttons, and then you get nervous, you start pushing buttons too many times, and then the computer gets confused, and then you throw it off to the side of the list. So they're going to give us $5,000 for the auto pulse. So this went from $17,000, and then they gave us a $2,000 sale on the different components, so we ended up walking out the door with about $9,600 from a $17,000 purchase.
Huh? Got a question. What do you do in case this is a child? I mean, what's the limitations you
find? A child's going to be us.
Yeah.
You only use this on adults.
This child depends on the size of the child, and the effect is very special.
I mean, I've seen 12-year-olds as big as Melissa, so I can use it on...
That, yeah. If they're a big child, then it would be sufficient, but mm-hmm. you would have to kind of... That depends on the situation, size of the child.
Good question.
So that goes on the elevator?
Just like that. We didn't even have to pull it up at all.
All right.
Yeah. Wow. The one thing about CPR, you really are horizontal. I mean, you just... I've seen people try to do CPR sitting up in the cars, and that just... You got to have them down, got to have them on firm surface. This is what was really nice about the elevator. I didn't have to push the head in, crank up the head.
Right.
And so we have facilities where I can get my stretcher there, but I have to put in contortions to get it there.
John, does this have any impact with how quickly you can transport the patient?
Well, that's also a good question. Under the current medical control, which is in front of the hospital, they won't allow us to transport a patient without using an automated CPR because they feel it's just too dangerous and unreliable as far as doing CPR. I mean, I've been doing the CPR in the back of the ambulance, I hate to tell you how long. But, you know, in the old days when you could put your, when you were in a 68 Volvo Oldsmobile, you could put your back up on the road and put yourself in place. But now you can't do that. And so you can't be stepped. And this provides you to be stepped. And so you're able to initiate transport. This is cool.
Yeah.
This is very big.
Very big deal.
The only other better thing that ever came along the road, did you notice the stretcher? This is the only other better thing in the world. I don't have to lift the stretcher. This is like sliced bread, guys.
Any more questions?
Thank you, John.
This is really neat.
Thanks for the demo.
Continuing on, a reminder that the next Local Housing Solutions meeting will be held here at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, December 5th. Then later that day, I was just advised that the Walnut Lake Conservancy will be holding a kickoff event for fundraising to purchase the property in Evangeline Township that's between our property and that of the Boyne City Schools for the trail project that we discussed recently. There was also an article in today's Petoskey News Review on the front page reporting on our November 13th discussion of that possible project. And based on feedback I received from the City Commission up to this point, I plan on moving forward with scheduling that special meeting that we discussed at 1 p.m. on Friday, December 7th, to meet and consider my recommendation for our new Director of Public Works.
Thank you for adjusting that, Commissioners.
Yeah. Mike? So if you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Tom, I have a question.
Yes.
Mike, this might be for Mark. With the PFAS?
Yes.
Is there something we do differently than other communities that,
or is no, it I think it's
like a draw?
It's, no, No, it's more than just the luck of the draw. It's basically where our well systems are located. With our two systems at the north and south end of towns, away from where there ever has been any industrial types of uses that might have had these types of things. So we have a pretty secure water system specifically, even more so at the north end of town. So that's the reason for it, the location of our water draw.
And then I got something emailed today about a tourism conference in Traverse City.
Seasonal economy.
Yeah, right. Is anybody thinking of going to that?
I don't know anything about that.
I text that to you to see if anybody's going, yes.
Was that from it was from Networks Northwest, yeah. Well, I'd be interested maybe if anybody else is. So. Okay. I think the deadline's tomorrow.
I think so.
Is that the reminder for December 3rd?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I saw the email. I didn't have a chance to look at it, though.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Mike. In our packet is the October financial statement. Is there any questions for Cindy? Thank you. Moving on to old business, our goals update.
Let me get to the right spot of the agenda here on that.
Two main things I wanted to report with regards to. One, you'll see that we've got a copy of the headers for all of the goals on our board that replaces the board that we had previously for 2017. If other people have other ideas on how we could display them, we went with just basically the main header of it, because if we started to get to all the verbiage that's with regards to it, we would need a much bigger board. And so we may put something on there that basically directs people to like a link on our website or things like that if they're looking for more information on that as well too. The other component is that the subcommittee had an opportunity to meet yesterday morning, and we reviewed all the goals and all the feedback that we've received from the city commission. And we're in the process of basically clarifying all of those items based on that feedback, coming up with responsible parties and more specific timelines for each one of them, and we'll be reporting that back to the commission in the next couple days.
But for our purpose and for the public's purpose, I mean, we have a working document. It hasn't necessarily, the final product has not been approved by us, but the working document has been approved by us, is that correct?
The goals have been selected by the commission, and there's more detail than just the 6 points there with regards to that. What's now being finalized is the more of the action plans that we have been discussing and looking forward with the boards and commissions. They were discussed by this commission, both at a regular meeting and in a work session. Then we also had our joint board and commission meetings where we talked with all our boards and commissions with regards to this. We want to get this transformed into a more usable format back to the city commission and the boards and commissions, so they can start implementing and moving forward on them all.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Moving on to item 9, new business. Northern Lakes, not the last.
Let's see if my tech expert's ready to go. If you don't mind, I think Carly and I are going to move down here. We can all see the screen. That makes it a little easier. First of all, thank you for having us. I'm Andy Hayes, president of the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance. This is Carly Bortz. We affectionately call her Cardi B. anyway, so several months ago, conversations with Kevin Shepard and Mike Kane, we realized that, the NLA has been around for 30 some odd years, since the early 80s, and it's been a while since we've actually come to the various local units of government. We work very closely with the staff on a variety of projects and stuff, but it wouldn't be a bad idea just to kind of do a traveling roadshow a little bit and talk a little bit about what we do, why we do it, how we do it, those kinds of things, some of the behind the scenes types of things. So what we'd like to do in the next couple hours or so, it always lands, every time. Anyway, the next few minutes or so, we've got kind of three parts here. I'm going to do a little overview of, and hopefully none of it will be a surprise. Hopefully you will have heard what I'm about to say. A little bit about that. And then Carly's going to talk a little bit about what we do, communicating what we do, and keeping you informed, and some of the tools that we've developed, that she's developed to do that. And then we've got, to close out, we've got a couple of cool little projects that we want to share with you, a couple of things to share with you. And your tease is, tonight could be date night. Tonight could be date night, okay? A free date night. That's the tease, okay? So, all right, next slide, please. So, the alliance is exactly that. We are an alliance. We're, you want to use a fancy word, it's kind of like collective impact. It's getting a group of people all together, all various organizations, to say, you know what? We're all different organizations, but we all want to go there, so let's all work together to go there. And that's what the Alliance has been doing since 1984 when we were formed. It's technically, we're a private nonprofit organization. We refer to ourselves as a public-private nonprofit. And the reason we do that is about half our funding and leadership comes from the private sector, and about half comes from the public sector. This is, I think, one of the secret sauces that was developed back in the early 80s. It was done out of necessity. It was done because nobody had enough money to do this on their own. So the local counties got together and said, hey, let's all throw a little bit of money into the hat to have some economic development expertise in the area. But you know what? Let's not give this organization everything they need. Let's have them go up and get private sector involved and whatever. And that's proven to be just very, very successful way of doing it. As you all know, and Boeing City is a perfect example of this, it takes the private sector's willingness to make an investment and do something, but it takes the public sector's willingness to work with that person to make it an easy thing. One can't do it without the other. So, next slide, please. Oh, I'm back up. Well, we've got to do it on the slide. So you'll see we have four member counties, and then we also have what we call core partners, and those are the six logos at the bottom. These are very significant organizations that not only put money into our budget to offset the local taxpayer dollars, but also adds expertise. We consider, actually not a day goes by that we're not working with or talking to somebody, a lot of times more than one, from those various organizations. They consider us an extension of their staff. We consider them an extension of our staff. So it's just it's a big team effort. All right, next slide. So this is our service area. You can see we cover a lot of territory. And again, we all know how rural northern lower Michigan is. And so by pooling our resources, by everybody, again, working together, we have that large enough critical mass to be able to make a difference and do things. And so the kinds of stuff that's being done on an economic and community development level up here and the resources available are, you don't see anything like this north of Grand Rapids, quite frankly. You know. And again, it's because a lot of little communities got together and said, hey, let's work together in the private sector and everybody else. So, all right. Backup one, I'm sorry. I'm used to doing my own click, I'm sorry about that. No, there we go. Backup, there we go, that one. All right, our mission is actually to serve as a resource to help entrepreneurs create and retain jobs. And so one of the things we approach that in two different directions. One is we work with various businesses and entrepreneurs to help them get to the next leg of their journey, but we also work with communities to help them develop the infrastructure that it takes to help businesses grow. And we never lose sight of the value of the entrepreneur, because it all starts with that person that's willing to take that chance, make the investment, build something bigger than they are that will last longer than they do. Because that's everything starts with that entrepreneur. And without that, the business and that person willing to do that, then we wouldn't have all the other stuff that a community could have. Okay. All right, we've got a large board. It's almost like a mini legislature. There's 28 members on this board. 20 of them are appointees from our four member counties. Each county appoints five. And then the other eight members are various positions from our various core individuals, core partner organizations, from Michigan State to Sharon ISD to the North Central Michigan College, the Industrial Association. And then we also have at-large companies. We have all three major utilities, as well as Baker College. So it's really a great cross-section, and again, and probably about 40% of those members are from the private sector, or public sector, and about 60% are from the private sector, which actually goes with, that's about our funding formula about right now. You know, we try to keep it about 50-50, but 60-40 is a good mix too. All right, next slide. All right. So here's what it looks like in Charlevoix County and actually what it looks like in Boyne City. So the five pictures at the top, and you probably know every one of those people, those are the five appointees from each of the, or from Charlevoix County to our NLEA board. Chris Christensen on the far right is the county commissioner. One of the appointees has to be a commissioner. The lower three are of our eight permanent seats. These are three individuals who their companies are located in Boyne City, actually. So of the eight appointees, or the five, six, seven, eight, or of all the appointees, you'll see eight are from Charlevoix County, and of the eight, six of them are actually from Boyne City. So Boyne City is very well represented on our board. Our board actually meets at Great Lakes Energy when we meet. All right, next one, please. Now, this is our professional staff, and like any organization, the faces change over time. Over the last several years, we've had some retirements, and we've replaced them with some very, very skilled people, and that's a great team. Again, it's pooling those resources, and the idea is, you know, nobody can do it by themselves, and by all sharing and working together, we all have access to this very, very talented group. They're all professional economic and community developers. Six of them are used throughout the four counties. On the lower second from the right is Amanda. She's a DDA director. Unlike Boyne City, we have several communities that don't have enough budget for a full-time director. So she actually serves as the part-time director for two communities, and that helps them out. And so they can have some DDA support there. She also does other DDA stuff. Lower right-hand corner is our bookkeeper. We actually outsource our bookkeeping so that way we can save money there and keep maximum amount of dollars out in the field. They're all pro baseball players. You've heard me say this before. We've got some second basemen and some shortstops and a pitcher in there and a center fielder, but they all are specialists, but they also work very closely together as a team. All right, next one. Now, here's how we deploy this group. So these are the four parts of our compass, so to speak, and this is designed to overlap each other. It's not unusual for you to see more than one of our staff involved on a particular project. So business retention and growth, that's really a really, really key part of what we do, and think of it in your businesses. We work really hard on helping keep the companies that are already here and help them grow. Now, we focus on companies that create family-supporting jobs. And the simple version of that is a company that creates a family-supporting job is a company that makes something or provides a service and they sell it outside the region and it's bringing more dollars into the region. In other words, it's expanding that economic pie. A manufacturer is a perfect example of this. They're making something here, they're paying local taxes, they're hiring local people, the kids are in schools, they're involved in the community. Yet they're selling the product somewhere else and it's coming back. So we work very hard at making sure that we have good relationships with all of those companies. We know what their wants and needs are. They know to get a hold of us. We try to get out in front of things so we can ward off potential problems as well as help them get to the next leg that they may have. Now, when I say these kinds of things, keep in mind this is all in a team environment. We're doing it as our staff, we're doing it with various partners, we're doing it with the city staff. You know, it's all one big group, the Chamber of Commerce. And so even though I'm sitting here saying that we do all this stuff, when I say we, I could fill this room with all the various groups that work together to make this happen. The opposite end of the spectrum or the compass on the bottom is our business attraction and growth. Here we take two options, or two tracks. One is, we want to make sure that we are prepared for growth. We don't have the resources, or even the expertise for that matter, to go out and headhunt companies all over the world like the Michigan Economic Development Corporation does or others do. But we want to make sure we know where all the shovel-ready sites are, we know all the information about them, we know all the key contact people, so that way when a company is interested in the area, we can very quickly dial up Mike or dial up anybody and say, hey, we got a company that wants to come look at this site or whatever. We work closely with the MEDC, and their business attraction people. We've met site selection folks from all over the Midwest that have come to the area to learn about areas. We make sure the sites are all loaded. We respond to requests, those kinds of things. The other reason we do that, that is in the off chance that a company will want to call and locate, and for those of you that follow, there isn't a lot of that happening. But we also want to make sure that when we have companies in our area that are outgrowing their location, we want to make sure they stay in the area. We don't want them to move downstate or move out of state or move out of country in order to attract their growth. So we want to make sure that when that company says, man, we're just outgrowing a spot, what do you got? We can say, well, here's some spots. Now on that note, I want to also assure you that when we work with a company in that situation, obviously these are all confidential situations, our very, very, very first and foremost goal is to keep that company in the local government jurisdiction they're currently in right now. That's actually our first goal. Our second goal is to keep them in the county they're located. Our third goal is to keep them in our four-county region. Fourth goal is to keep them in Northwest Michigan. And then fifth goal would be in Michigan, and then after that, we don't care. So we really work hard at that. And we want to meet the company's needs, of course, but that's kind of a pecking order we do. On the left-hand side is our community development arm. And this has really evolved over the years. When we first started doing this several years ago, it was really about infrastructure for business parks. It was, running that sewer, water, power, whatever out so a company could expand or locate or whatever. And that still is a part of it. But it's also evolved to where, we got quite involved with placemaking. Because companies say, hey, we can recruit someone to come to our company, but their family won't live in this town or doesn't want to live in this town. So placemaking became a big deal, and it still is today, where we work with communities to help them make the kind of place that everybody wants to live. Then it got into skilled trades and talent and housing. We're involved in housing now, and you guys are way ahead of the curve as far as the conversations and everything on housing. Daycare, these are the types of zigs and zags that the community development arm gets involved with, and it all ties back to helping companies create jobs, because that's an issue that is facing companies today. Grant administration, program support, again, we have two certified CDBG grant administrators on our staff, and so whether it be that working with the CDBG or the USDA or the EDA, I can rattle off all the acronyms, we've got the people that can actually write and administer grants to help out in that respect too. So again, all tied together, and as you can imagine, depending on the project, there's different parts of our staff that are working in different parts of it. But it all ties back into helping create and retain full-time, year-round, family-supporting jobs. The good news is we have a very high trust level with our companies. They know that we're very confidential. We work behind the scenes, under the radar. And many things that we're involved with, there's an appropriate time for them to become public. The bad news is nobody really sees what we're doing. And so even though we've been located here for a long time, and I think a lot of people know about the NLEA, but they don't really see us in operation quite a bit. So anyway. All right, next. Oh, I'm sorry, a business attraction. I'm sorry. One other aspect of it, which I'm going to talk about in a second, is helping new businesses get started, entrepreneurs get launch businesses. So again, that's a total opposite end of the spectrum from large companies that need to expand. But again, it's helping that pipeline, helping entrepreneurs get started in the community, which will eventually grow. Now I'm going to go. All right, you've seen this slide before. This talks about our regional economy. We know for a fact that 4 out of 10 people in our area, our four counties, live in one county and work in another. And just think about the number of people that you know or the number of people that you work with and where they're traveling to and from to go to work. And so it really, what happens in Boyne City or happens in Charlotte County affects Emmett, Otsego, Antrim, Charlotte, it's all tied together. And so again, another reason why it's good to work as a regional basis. All right, if you go to the next slide.
Andy, could I ask you, how do you generate that information, or how do you know that? Do you survey the companies or the employee? Is it census information, or exactly how do you come up with that?
Yes, yes, and yes. The next slide, perfect here. Janet Koch on our staff, our community development person, dug a little deeper, and I've got two slides here. This is actually from the U.S. Census Bureau, and I can get you more of the links if you want. But this is what's kind of interesting. When we go out to talk to companies, we're always asking them, you know, where your employees are coming from. And it always amazes, well, it doesn't really amaze me anymore, but it amazes me at how far people will drive to work. And so you can see by this slide here that just the difference between 2002 and 2015, you know, 10 or 11% drove more than 50 miles. Now almost 18% of people drive more than 50 miles to go to work. And so it's just, it's interesting. It really, and obviously the higher the pay, the more they do, but it's amazing how many people will drive a long distance for lower wage jobs. So now if you go to the next slide, this is kind of an interesting little chart that shows the direction of where they're coming from. Now this is Charlevoix County, and considering you have Lake Michigan that is in the northwest and west part of the county, it's natural that most of the job migration is going to be coming from the southwest. But you can see the larger the triangles and the farther they go down is the more people and where they're coming from. So you can see, for example, in Charlevoix County, the big part of the people, there's a lot of people driving up from the south, coming up to work in Charlevoix County, following the southeast over there. So, all right, next slide. All right, so at this point, I'm going to let Carly talk for a minute about some of our communication stuff. So Carly's been with us about a year. And you've met her before. She was here talking about another project she's going to talk about in a second. And but yeah, she's a lot of fun to work with and knows the communication stuff.
Great. So I'm a part of the board, so I do communications for NLEA. There's three ways, essentially, that I get out information to all of you. And that is the newsletter, which goes out monthly, the president's report, also a monthly publication, and then social media. And so this is an example of our November issue of the newsletter that went out that goes through email. And hopefully most of you are seeing these and on the mailing list, but you can always subscribe. But we try to, I have each staff member write an article about something that's happening, either a project that we're working on in your community or something that's going on in the community, issues that are facing us, or different tools that people can use, different programs you may not know about. And so we try to represent all of that to help you guys stay informed. So this month's issue talked about the impacts of recreational marijuana in the communities, which is going to be a big issue that we're all facing. Local communities with the Shop Small campaign, and so that's, you know, affecting small businesses, and how do we keep those? We go shop there. And then a different CDBG project that took place in Central Lake. They put in at Thurston Park 5 permanent docks. So we reported on that and how that project is moving forward. And then also the USDA has partnered with us to offer a couple lending forums this past year, where we met with local lenders and officials of different communities to talk about some of the programs, loans and grants that communities could use with their projects. And so, you know, we try to represent all of that and keep you all informed that way. Next slide. So then this is the president's report, and this, we always start off at the beginning with a feature of a project or a business community issue, and then have a testimonial, but it's also a way for us to report on our program assistance through metrics. And so this is stats of jobs created and retained for the month, as well as investment and different numbers of projects that we have in the works. There's also, you know, website statistics and social media statistics that I throw in there, just so people can see what our readership is and what people are looking at, as well as, you know, a fun fact about, you know, manufacturers or entrepreneurs, just to keep it interesting, and a video as well.
Wait a minute, it's just not a video, it's a...
Mind-blowing video.
Mind-blowing video. Look at that. She always finds a very fun, interesting video.
Yeah. Next slide.
Does that have to do with recreational marijuana?
Yeah, we may want to change the video to that.
And then, so our social media, we're active on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And this is where we can really have personal interaction with our companies and communities and the public as well as our partners. And this is a way for all of us to share, what's going on in our communities, and I can promote that, and they can promote what we're doing, and it really it keeps us all informed. And so, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and you'll continue to stay informed. And we, we post about our different projects that are going on, and really helps people get in the moment of what we're actually doing, so they can see it and in video form or photo form. So.
Okay, here's the date night. So we, several years ago, East Jordan started a business model competition called Greenlight East Jordan, and it went on for 2 or 3 years. And basically, it's our local version of Shark Tank. You have local entrepreneurs that are wanting to launch businesses, and they do a 4-minute pitch, and the winner walks away with a check for $10,000 startup capital for their business. So after a very successful Greenlight East Jordan for a few years, we got the idea, boy, let's expand this out and do one in each of the counties. And then, boy, wouldn't it be cool if there was even a playoff, kind of a, if you know Hannah Sanderson on our staff, she's very athletic, and the whole Final Four thing kind of came into being. So it's taken us a couple of years to get there, but we have 4 different local pitch nights, one in each county, where 12 pitchers do pitches for their business. The winners, the top prize is 10 grand, and then there's 5 grand, and different amounts of money that each one get. But the winners now all come together tonight. And so tonight at the Great Lakes Center for the Arts in Bay Harbor, it's free. Did I mention it was free and it'd be a great date night? Anyway, these 12 winners will be competing against each other for an additional $10,000 to $15,000 in startup capital for the businesses. So it's really exciting. And just to give you some examples, last year we had 3. We went from several years ago having 1, and then last year we had 3. Of the 3 we held last year, we had 21 pitches. Of those pitches, 20 businesses launched and/or expanded as a result. And one of the reasons for this isn't a catch and release program. This isn't a just give them the check and see you later. Once they apply for this, we grab onto those entrepreneurs and we walk them through. We have various mentors and counselors and stuff that work with them right through the process. Even if they don't win a check that night, we help them launch and whatever. And so this has really been a great way to feed small businesses into a community. So last year we had, like I said, 21 pitches, 20 launches, and over 750 people came to those 3 events. So it's really exciting. It's a fun, exciting night. So this year we've completed 4 of these already. We've had 36 pitches. We've had, now tonight we have 420-ish. 420 are registered to come tonight. And with counting that 420, we'll have over 1,400 people have come to these events in the communities. And it's just an exciting night to come. So come to Bay Harbor tonight if you want. The doors open at 5:30. The event starts at 6, so get there around 5:30. You'll be out of there by 8:30. And these are 4-minute pitches. You don't even have to register. Just come. We've got room. That place seats 500, and we know there'll be a few that won't show, so we've got room for you. But really exciting. Our goal this coming year is to expand the Greenlight East Jordan into a countywide event for all of Charlevoix County. As you can imagine, we have to be a little cautious about that because it was because of East Jordan that these events even came here. So we're working very closely with Mary Fatlack and her group. And well, I'd say we get Ashley involved, but we will get you involved in your next life, I guess. But anyway, so look for that. But these have been very, very successful. After tonight is over, we'll have provided $80,000 of startup capital for first launches, business launches. So really, really cool stuff. All right, next item, please.
So this was a collaborative effort that I was here speaking about a few weeks ago, but Ashley Cousins really rallied the troops here to help celebrate Manufacturing Day. We turned it into a week-long event where we offered plant tours at 19 manufacturing companies, and the pictures you're seeing up there are from IMI, and those companies open their doors and let students walk through. Because students will be the future of some of these skilled trades jobs. And we had a lot of interest. Those students really loved walking through. 381 of those students were able to walk through and see all those companies, and as well as many local residents got to walk through and see what manufacturing is all about in our area and learn what these companies do. I'll have numbers for that tomorrow when we when we do our recap meeting. But it was a really great effort with three chambers involved, and then local CHAR-M, ISD, Northwest Industrial Association, us, Michigan Works, and the college up in Petoskey. So we're hoping to expand that next year as well.
So funny thing, here's what happens in our world. Every October, we get in the car, we drive to work, we hear on the radio, oh, today's manufacturing day. And we go, boom, we forgot it, right? So Ashley, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you, in the summer said, hey guys, let's work on this now rather than wait till October. So thank you for that. And then everybody got together and it was a, so it'll even be bigger next year too. So, all right, next item. All right, now this is, first of all, that map is not even close to being accurate, but I just do that as a crutch so I have something to look at as I explain this. This is a great example of how economic development takes time. We all know the value and the importance of high-speed internet and broadband. Not only is it important in our own personal lives, it's important in education, and it's becoming more and more critical when it comes to business. And we all know people are making decisions on whether to buy a home or not based on internet availability. Certainly businesses are checking that off on their must-haves. And so for years, there has been high-speed internet available throughout our area through the Merit Network that's available to governments, hospitals, schools. Those three? Yeah, three. Private businesses have not been able to tap into that, and so they are using private vendors. And some are happy, some aren't happy. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it isn't, sometimes it's expensive, sometimes it's more expensive. And so over the years, and we've been working on broadband for a number of years, and so we have found or landed on a solution that because of the NLEA and our 501c3 public nonprofit, public-private nonprofit economic development status, by forming a multi-county consortium, we can serve as the off-ramp for local companies to tap into that network. And so, again, some will do it, some won't, but it allows that this consortium will do two things. Number one, Great Lakes Energy, as you know, is investing, it's an amazing investment that they're doing to provide high-speed broadband internet to all of their customers. Well, it's only to their customers, and Boyne City is not served by Great Lakes Energy. So there are many companies in Boyne City, the industrial park, whatever, that are using whatever they're using. But now, Merit, fiber goes right up the front door. And so now they will have an opportunity once, and this consortium is, it's actually our first meeting will be in January. We've got three counties on board. We don't need to have all four to do it. So what this will enable, this will just another competitive advantage for these companies to be able to tap into this resource. And I'll give you two examples that are not in, well, I guess one is in this county, but one example is up in Mackinac City. And as you're familiar much with Mackinac City, there's a gentleman that owns a lot of hotels up in Mackinac City, and they all have different flags. And each flag has requirements as far as their continental breakfast and their high-speed internet and their TVs and all that kind of stuff. Well, he didn't have fast enough internet, and he was about to lose several of those flags. Yet, Merit Fiber went right in front of his places. So we did a little test program with him a year or so ago, and he was able to tap into that, and again, provide internet for all of his companies to keep the flags and all that. So that's an example of a gentleman that actually used the system. Another example is a large company in Charlevoix County that needed a big upgrade. And their current provider said, yeah, we can do what you need. It'll cost $100,000 to do all this stuff. So I said, okay. So now, because of our offering with Merit, we said, well, here you got another option to look at. And so they looked at Merit and this and that and everything else. We were able to do it. And they made the decision to stay with a local provider because their local provider said, you know what? We'll waive the $100,000 fee. Okay? So in this case, that was money in the bank for that particular company. So we're really excited about this. If you talk to Chris Christensen, he's very knowledgeable about this. Kevin Shepherd is also. And our goal is probably this consortium will be out of business in a few years after everybody all has internet. But that's the way we're doing it. So you'll learn a little bit more about consortium, and we'll be reaching out to you guys and the companies in the area to let them know this is available once it goes. The other advantage of this consortium is we'll be able to have great dialogue with the various providers to, in fact, a lot of the merit fiber that's laid in Charlevoix County now is a result of early stages of this consortium where we were able, because of our relationship with them, get in the van with a guy, driving down the road and said, yeah, let's go right, let's go left. And Chris would say, well, geez, rather than go that way, what if we went down this way? You know, that way we got four companies down here or this or that or whatever. So anyway, we're excited about this, so you'll be hearing more about that. So a little more than the 10 minutes that I promised Mike, I apologize. But when I saw what a long agenda it was today, I couldn't resist. So with that, next slide, if you have any. I know Dean Solomon, Commissioner Solomon has many questions, but we'd be more than happy. Carly would be more than happy to answer any questions you've got. So, anyway.
Well, thank you. That's very thorough, and obviously you're part of the success of Northern Michigan. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, we've had our offices in Boyne City for years. We love working in Boyne City. We're just like the job migration map that I showed. We have people from all four of our counties that come to work here in our offices. But yeah, we love working with the city staff here. And Boyne City is just, you guys are just clicking on all cylinders. So thank you.
Andy, I have a question.
Sure.
About your retention visits.
Yes.
How often do you do those? And are local people ever invited to join the crowd to visit our local industry?
Yes and no. Let me back up. We've identified through our four county area about 130 companies that are the large, you know, family supporting jobs. I can't tell you off the top of the head or actually in Boyne City, but you know where they are. And so what we try to do in our definition of a retention visit is almost like your annual visit to the doctor. No emergencies that you know of. You know, nothing going on, but it's just that checkup saying, how you doing, how you feeling, what's going on, whatever. And we do that with three people. The NLEA is there from the economic development side. We have the Michigan Economic Development Corporation is there. And we have Michigan Works is there. So these are three groups that we're working very closely with. And what that does, we go in as a team, and it also keeps the company from having to have three different visits and say the whole thing. So what we've learned over time, and I am getting to an answer to your question here, but what we've learned over time is this is a very, this is a relationship meeting. We want that CEO or general manager or whatever to really open up. Because what we really want to do is we want to learn about what their dreams are in the future, what their challenges are, some of those kinds of things. And we find that with three people, that's a good number. You get four or five or six, and then it's an entourage. Then it becomes a presentation, and they don't talk. And so it's very delicate. Now, in Boyne City's case, actually, several of our cities, Boyne City is very proactive, and I know Mike and several of the staff know the companies very well. And so one of the things that what we try to do is after we do a visit, we would call, in this case, the city manager, and say, hey, we just met with XYZ, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then we would do whatever needs to be done. I think as we move forward, and we've talked, Mike and I have talked about this, of ways to involving the city manager up front a little bit more. But the thing that you'll just say me resist a little bit is a retention visit, if it's an entourage, it doesn't work that well. Now, as far as how many we do, we're actually going to be ramping that up. The downside of involving the MEDC and the Michigan Works in that team, those guys each cover, heck, the MEDC lady covers about 20 counties, and the Michigan Works covers about 6 or 7 counties. And so you can't move quite as quickly. And so what we're doing with them now is we're going to identify, okay, of those 130 companies, here are the 25 that we want to make sure you're on, and then we'll do the rest. That'll enable us to hit. Our goal is to hit every one every year, at least once a year. Now, that's separate from project. I mean, once we're on a project, we're working with that company every day or however long it takes to do it. So, yeah. So, long answer to your question, but that's the thing to understand. But I tell you, and when we go even on our own, we talk about how the community is appreciative of them and those kinds of things. But Boyne City really, Mike will call us up and say, hey, did you know? I go, no, or I'll call, you know, whatever. So you guys are on it. That's really a good thing.
We have any more questions? Anything? For Carly and Andy?
You said I would add 30 or 40 questions and just grab them in 2 hours.
Yeah.
I only just had a couple of them. Well, we make an investment, don't we, sit in Boise City to annually say, I don't know.
Yes, a good question. In fact, I was trying to narrow these slides down. Normally I have several more slides that prompt me to say some of this stuff. So the way our funding works is back in the early 80s, the four counties got together. Actually, it was three counties in another way. But the counties got together and said, let's throw money in the hat, blah, blah, blah. They came up with a formula. And each of the counties made a couple of decisions. The decision number one was, yeah, we'll write the big checks. But we want to make sure that check is only about half of what it really takes. Because we want to make sure the local units of government and the private sector also buy into this regional approach. And nothing says buy-in more than money in your pocket. And so for years, the counties always have written a very substantial check. That enables cities, villages, and townships to also be part of this at a lesser rate. So for example, in Boyne City's case, it's $3,000 a year that you're investing to get the services. Now, above and beyond that, there are certain fees for services if we're going to administer a grant or this or that or whatever. But that's all part of the secret sauce of how the whole budget all comes together. In fact, the other thing that's unique about the NLEA is because of this public-private partnership, we're very entrepreneurial. You've all probably been involved in economic development groups that are single-funded and they only work with one community or one county or whatever, and they do their job until the money runs out. And, you know, maybe they're paying attention, maybe they're not. And in our case, because we're always interacting with all the different parts, it's like digging a tunnel. We're all sticking our head out of the tunnel to make sure we're still heading in the same direction. And so that keeps us more vibrant and being able to adapt and adjust. So short version, $3,000.
Okay. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, $3,000.
The next question, actually, we mentioned our goal setting process. Mm-hmm. Here we adopted a set of goals, and one of them on there behind you is keep Boyne City's economy strong and resilient. And right now, as we refine these, we're attaching hopefully to each one of our goals a few high priority specific and measurable actions that the city can do, city government and staff. Do you have any kind of hints or suggestions for us of what we might want to consider for our specific role in the next couple of years when it comes to economic development?
Just in general terms, obviously. And by the way, at whatever point you want, we can sit down and do a deeper dive into these things and kind of talk this through. But the advice that I would give to anybody involved into the RRC program, you're a certified community, all that kind of stuff. But as a government official, and Boyne City already does this all very well, but keep it on your radar, is make this the most business-friendly place possible. That doesn't mean you're eliminating the regulations and whatever, but it's just amazing to me how many times a business person will walk in to get a permit and it becomes this big slog, Or the person at the counter has no bedside manner, or whatever. I mean, those are things that you can control, And Boyne City already does a very good job of that. The thing I like working with Mike is typically the answer usually is, yeah, we can do that. Okay, let's figure out how to do it, Rather than, no, you can't do that. And so that's what I would suggest. In fact, taking the RRC program to the next level, and again, we haven't actually done this with anyone yet, although we kicked this around at our office, is if you would like to embark on a process where maybe you test out your government processes for business, maybe we bring in some new entrepreneurs or businesses that have just gone through the process, or maybe some long-time people have been here, whatever, and kind of walk through all the various steps and processes to make sure that it's easy to understand, that would be something that I think would just be a good exercise to do over the next. The other thing, and Mike already does this, and you guys already do this already, is make sure your business park is absolutely got everything you need to have, because there are sites available now, there are very few buildings available. And again, the days of building a spec building, I think, are gone. But we do get calls saying, yeah, we're looking for that 30,000 square foot building. But again, Boyne City's done some proactive things. You've got some virtual buildings built already, so people can kind of know, yeah, this could fit on the site.
Thanks. That's all.
Yeah. You only asked 3 questions. We've got 40 things in there. Say it all.
Anything else? We appreciate the presentation.
Thank you. And hopefully we'll see some of you at date night tonight.
I'm going to hang out to it so I can download this and get it on our website.
Yeah, there's some notes. You'll see the notes and pages.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good. Okay. If that's okay.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item B, Lake Charles Association Sunset Garden Update.
2 years ago, when I was asked to move in, the president at the time of the Lake Shelmore Association had 2 questions for me. One was I interested in being part of the committee? And he mentioned gardening, protecting the lake, native plants. I was on right at that point. It was me. The second question was, what did the city of Boyne City think about this kind of a thing? And they knew that I'd taken projects through the city commission. And having been part of the group that helped set some of the goals, protect Lake Charlevoix and Boyne River, I felt really comfortable saying, oh, Boyne City's a good place to start this project. Yes, this will be fine. I want to thank you guys for being supportive for this project. Thank you very much. And we have a small demonstration.
All right, so I'm Tom Barton.
I'm Joel Van Ruppel.
And we're both officers and members of the Lake Charlevoix Association. And as we said when we were here at the beginning of the project, we were looking for something to work on as a part of a class that we were taking. We decided we wanted to do something that was that would actually have some impact rather than just being an academic exercise. And that got put together with this idea of demonstration gardens. What we want to do is walk you through quickly what we've accomplished so far. So we've got, these are our primary team members. Joel and I have been the chairs. Nancy's been a very important part of the group from the beginning. Gal Wilsenberger, Jason Brands, then Dan Mishler and John Hoffman, who have been presidents of the Lake Charlevoix Association. It's been a very rewarding team to work with.
So Tom and I left this 5-day workshop with the goal of doing something practical rather than some of the theoretical concepts that some of the other groups were doing. And so we met with the LCA board. Tom and I walked into that meeting going, well, that went pretty well. And then we went with Michael and pitched our idea, and we walked out of that meeting going, well, that went pretty well. And then we met with you all, and we walked out of that meeting going, well, that went really well. So thank you for that. And the goal of this whole point was 2 things, a win for the lake and a win for the city. And so what we hope you see here will confirm that that happened.
Are we all set with the next?
Yep. So we found this 225-foot by 15-foot strip right over here that just exemplifies turf and all the lake unfriendly things that go with turf grass in terms of nutrient infiltration and fertilizer. And if you look at the next slide, those tend to draw things like our Canadian friends who leave little gifts for us. And we just didn't think that was the best thing to be for the public to be seeing along the shoreline, so we decided to go in and kill all of it. So we had Gal Wilsenberger come in with his certified spray work and took out all the grass. We plumped up our coming soon signs, and we then contacted a number of landscapers, and Tom will talk about that.
So the next slide, please. So we laid out 7 plots in the strip there, leaving place. And one of the comments when we first were here with the idea was, where are people going to be able to get out there to fish? So we left this area here will be turf, and that gives access to the water for fisher folk, and also places to sit. So we've got seven parcels here, and we assigned five of them to the five professional landscape companies that were part of our project. And then we kept two for the Lake Charlevoix Association. One of which, one of ours was a kind of elaborately designed, and the other one we did, we wanted to have a demonstration of something that just about anybody could do, and so our second one is all grasses, just various kinds of beach grass. And so what I want to take you through now is just a little bit of next slide, please, how the process went. So here we are. The first thing we had to do was get rid of that grass that Gao had killed. So we're stripping off the soil here. This is working the volunteers. You can see there's Nancy over there. And this was, all of these folks here are part of like the team that we had been working on as a committee. Next slide, please. So we got it to this stage. Got the soil pulled off of it, or the turf pulled off of it, got our permit, got our flagstones there. This was actually the Thursday morning that preceded the big windstorm. We decided not to install that day because it was a little gray and wet. Had we done so, it probably all would have gotten washed out in that storm because it would only have been around 24 hours. But we skipped a couple of days. And next slide, please. And so we had just a beautiful Saturday morning for our installation. Our plants came in the trailer. Go ahead, please. And it was time to get to work, put the plants in the ground, digging holes. The design here, this is Jason Rams. Jason had did a lot of the design work for us, and he was there supervising and getting his hands dirty as well. Next slide, please. We did collect our plastic and tried to recycle all of that. That's an important issue these days.
The ladies with me are garden club people, as well as the Shelby Association. So, Point City Garden Club helps.
Next slide. All right, so this is our Lake Charlevoix Association, our garden. After it had been installed, and we're really quite pleased with the way that came out. Next slide, please. And this is our all grass plot, and this is really a person could go to a source for these grasses. There's some design involved here, but this is simple stuff, easy to plant. This is, again, we'll be illustrating what a person could do if they weren't a real serious gardener, but they wanted to do the right thing with their waterfront. Next slide, please.
I'm over here.
There you are.
Okay. This is our wonderful group of people that have volunteered both significant time and significant materials and significant labor. They are all committed to a minimum of 3 years of maintaining and supporting each of their plots. And the real joy for us was to see the variance in terms of the design and what they did. Next slide, please. So this is North by Nature and their crew. And you can see most of these people brought in four or five workers to install this stuff, so it was a significant time. You can see the piles of topsoil for the additional plots beyond the plot that you see they're working on. The next slide shows the end result looking to the west. The next slide shows the end result looking to the east. And this last plot that you'll see next shows a real different version done by Waterpaws, who is known in the waterscapes. And so the beauty for us was people can go in and they can see individual plants, they can see elaborate designs, they can see simple designs, and all of it's lake friendly, all of it's lake healthy, and all of it's available in the area. Signage will go up in the spring.
Yep, so the next slide, this is the one that, hey, I got there. So that we're working on the next phase now. The plants are in the ground. There will be instructive signage. This is our current working draft of sign that will be put up. We're also working on, there'll be an 8-panel brochure where there'll be one page on each of the 7 plots that will explain a little bit about the philosophy behind the thinking that went into each of the designs, and that'll all be ready to roll for a grand opening that we're expecting to do in early June.
The promotion we've done thus far is we had an article in our latest fall LCA newsletter, and we also put an article in the Charlevoix Courier the last Friday of October, and our goal as we redo our website is to make all of this information available online.
And now that Point City has led the way, there's some possibility that maybe East Jordan and Charlevoix might decide that they could do something like this.
But anyway, we're very proud of what we've accomplished so far, and we very much appreciate the support we've gotten from the city to allow us to do it. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, let's open up to questions. Comments?
I have one question, but first of all, you should feel very proud. It's really a wonderful end result of what you've done, and it's going to be great, and I hope you can use it for educational purposes and all that sort of stuff.
You bet.
But one thing is of the 3-year commitment, what happens after 3 years? Will there be a memorandum of understanding from the city to do the maintenance, or is the Lake Charlevoix Association going to do that? Or?
Yeah, we're the Lake Charlevoix Association is committed to keeping this thing going indefinitely. We haven't really talked about what happens at the end of the 3 years, other than that our commitment to keep it going. And we're certainly hopeful that the landscapers that we've recruited will find it's been worthwhile and will continue. But if not, we'll look for other people, other organizations. And if one of our landscapers happens to be able to, they turn out not to be able to continue their 3-year commitment, that the association is committed to filling in those gaps.
We'd like to market this well enough so that it's worthwhile for them to stay here.
Right.
We want them to be able to show off what they did, sell their services, and just keep that going.
One of the attributes also of the plants that are used, they're very low maintenance. So over time, when it fills in, hopefully there'll be little required in terms of maintaining the gardens.
Has there been any feedback from Fisher people if that's adequate for their access? Has anybody heard anything about that?
When we were installing part of it, Grizzly Adams showed up. I don't know who he is, but he's this very large gentleman in camo with a beard. He was kind of talking about, what are you going to do about the fish? So we've got flagstone between each of the plots, and you've got this section here, and by the way, so he was just fine after he realized we weren't going to put up barbed wire and keep him from his fish. So I think we're in good shape there, because you can get literally into any of those spots.
I know Grizzly Adams well, so if you please, yeah, that's a good thing. But in response to that, I have heard criticism, not from him, but that it has limited access to that shoreline. And when we discussed this earlier, I thought there would be a path along the breakwall. Either way, I'm in full support, and I'm sure it'll all work out. And I think that once they see it, everybody can be happy, the fishermen, and I think it's going to be loved by the community and our guests. I think our the people that go to Sunset Park to watch the sunset and eat ice cream cone are just going to be in love with it.
Yeah, and we talked with every landscaper about this in terms of the response we got was the plants are hardy, and you may not just have to stay right on the stones that are there in terms of they should be able to handle some of that traffic, and if they're not, then we'll have to make some adjustments. But that's been brought up with each group, so we are cognizant of that.
And it won't, there's not a guarantee that it'll keep the geese off, but geese don't like to have any kind of grasses or plants that are up high. You know, geese can hide there and let them. It's a deterrent.
Sure. The closer you get to the mouth, the heavier fishing
spot, so they put their lawn chairs there, and they got two or three rods out, but it'll all work.
If there's an issue, just give us a holler. We'll see what we can do.
We'll give it to Jeff first. as a very positive approach. That's Jeff's approach.
So. Okay.
I agree. I think it looks great out there. It's an improvement aesthetically, and not only functionally, and how to protect the lake. The one thing that did occur to me, you know, relates to our goals again, is, and we talked about the importance in our goal of protecting Lake Charlevoix River, with an emphasis on our role in managing stormwater. And I'm wondering if you know, the practices and demonstration along the shoreline is just as applicable throughout the city as a way of being able to get more water to soak into the ground before it makes its way to our storm sewers. And as such, I'm wondering even if that six panel brochure, you know, it could be something that says, you know, this isn't just for shoreline.
Sure.
This is a benefit for all kinds of reasons for landscapes on properties throughout the city.
Yeah. The LCA is really working toward a watershed concept as opposed to the lake concept. And so what you're saying fits right in with the direction we're trying to take.
Yeah.
And all those plants, a lot of them could be used for rain gardens. They're all pretty much native plants, all of them.
Yeah. Well, again, thanks.
We went to a very good seminar that was just totally rethinking the idea of storm drainage. Do it before it's a storm drain, as Dean said. So, way up river or upland when you start the process. Mm-hmm. So, anything else? Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Thank you
so much.
Job well done. All right, moving on to good of the order. Anything else? Regular City Commission meeting is scheduled for December 11th at 7 p.m. And at 1:17, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.